This is Zone About Town on 104.5 The Zone. Good morning and thanks for being with us. Do you have trouble getting what you want? We all do, but there are some great techniques anyone can use to become more of a persuasive communicator. We spoke with Chris St. Hilaire, author of 27 Powers of Persuasion, simple strategies to seduce audiences and win allies, about ways you can get what you want from anyone. Here's Barbara Dabb.
Welcome, everybody, and good morning. I'm so pleased to have on the line with me today somebody from my old neck of the woods, Southern California, Chris St. Hilaire. He's the author of a really fabulous new book called 27 Powers of Persuasion, and he's going to tell us a little bit about what that is, what is so important about persuasive communication, and how it affects us in our daily lives, pretty much from the moment we open our mouths first thing in the morning until we go to sleep. So, Chris, thanks so much for joining me today. It's great to have you.
Thanks for having me.
Well, I guess, tell us, I sort of in a nutshell, if you can, I've seen the book, I've read it, and a lot of great stuff in there. And of course, a lot of what you say appeals to me as a journalist, somebody who communicates for a living. But really, what you're talking about in there applies to pretty much everybody in every walk of life. So tell us a little bit about sort of the philosophy that led you to write this book.
Well, first, you know, just about every aspect of our lives involves some form of persuasion. And what you find is that those folks that have the ability to couch their ideas, to talk to people in ways that opens up conversation, that gets their intention, that makes people feel included, are the ones who have the ability to sell their ideas, and you find them rising through society. So, you know, I've been involved in and interested in communication from the time I was a small child, when I watched how poorly my parents communicated, all the way up through college and then into the professions that I'm involved in, which, you know, as you know, are politics and working with attorneys on high profile trials and then working with the media, and all of those industries have in common the need to communicate effectively, to tell a good story, and to tell it in ways that are persuasive to their particular audiences.
Right. And I think one of the things I also wanted to touch on is when people hear the word persuasion or persuasive communication, you know, it immediately conjures up this adversarial situation where you're trying to convince somebody to come over to your side or agree with you. But really, what you're talking about are even the subtleties of conversation, that kind of everything has a persuasive nature to it.
Well, and when you say the word persuasion, and I've actually done focus groups on the issue of persuasion in writing this book, it actually has a bit of a negative connotation. And so I struggled whether or not to even put the word persuasion in the title, and in the end decided to take it head on.
Right.
Because although, you know, it conjures images of salesmen, it conjures images of manipulation, that's actually not what persuasion is. What persuasion is creation of consensus. It's of taking an idea, it's taking an idea or a thought and creating unity of purpose, and that's positive. And whether you run from the term or not, like you said, every aspect of your life involves some level of persuasion.
Right. I mean, I know, as we were talking about a little earlier before this interview, even the way we communicate with our children, of course, there is a lot of persuasive, blatant persuasion that you have to use with young kids to get them to do things that they may not want to do. But as you so poignantly pointed out and learned through your own life, just observing the communication between your parents and the relationship that they had really touched you in a way that I think it really sounds like it's kind of defined you and given you a mission in life. But every relationship involves some form of consensus building, as you said. And it's interesting to really think of it in those terms, because you're right. I don't think most people do. I think we all think of it as, you know, snake oil salesmen and, you know, shabby lawyers trying to, you know, convince whatever. As you know, of course, in your profession that's There's value in the corporate setting, but there's also a tremendous amount of value in interpersonal relationships.
Well, yeah, and you know, the importance of positive language and focusing on the goal is something I talk about, and I try to give some concrete ways to do that. Though, and you know, watching my parents communicate, so often I would see the language being used not fitting the goal. And so one thing I counsel people now is to remove the buts from their statements. I can say, I don't disagree with you. And you know what the next word out of my mouth will be?
Yeah, but.
And what you've done is set up the listener for confrontation.
Yeah.
You could very easily say, say I agree with you and.
Mm-hmm.
Now your listener has is feeling like you're about to make them right. And what comes after it could be the exact same thing, but it's just the context by which you set up your point to be heard. And people, like it or not, or well, I kind of do like it, want to be right. They want to feel like they're contributing to a conversation. And so setting them up to be right with some simple techniques will allow your idea to be heard better and make it ultimately more persuasive.
Absolutely. I'm speaking with Chris St-Hilaire. He's an author of a wonderful new book out called 27 Powers of Persuasion. And we're talking about communication skills, basically, and the ways that people use language and use communication to create consensus and sort of build relationships, whether it's with your children, your spouse, your friends, your colleagues, your boss. I think it's really some very important skills, and there are 27 of them. But Chris, if you will, what are some of the top ones that people really need to pay attention to? And obviously, we're hoping everyone gets the book and reads it, but what are your favorite, you know, top three or four or five powers of persuasion that you write about?
You know, I not to sound like a salesman, I think I like all 27. They're really a language.
Uh-huh.
And once you learn to speak it, you can go from chapter 14 to chapter 3 to chapter 27, and it works. And you know, specifically, when one piece of advice I'd give people is whenever you're starting a meeting, whenever you're starting a conversation in which there are a number of parties, you'd be surprised at how much closer to the goal line you can get simply by asking, what's our goal here?
Mm-hmm.
And defining that goal, you'll find will get you halfway to consensus. And I see so often, I worked with a large insurance company, and I sat down with the CEO and the CFO and the COO, and I asked them, what is insurance? And all three of them had different answers.
Interesting.
They all defined it in a different way. And I realize insurance has its is complicated by nature, but if the folks running one of the largest companies in America don't agree on what they do, then it's hard to have a cohesive message. And so asking yourself at the beginning of a meeting, focusing on the goal, and just asking those questions, and by the way, not stating the goal, asking what the goal is, because then you create mutual ownership of that goal. And letting the group decide on that goal allows you to become the leader of a meeting, even when you're not in that stated position.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And of course, you know, we're all sort of out there wanting to be listened to and heard and respected for our ideas. And even in situations that are in a family or with your friends, you want to be able to kind of, where are we going for dinner? Well, what do we all feel like eating? And, you know, there's kind of ways to navigate those relationships as well, but particularly at work in this economy where a lot of people are looking for work, maybe in hoping that they're not going to lose their jobs. It's really important to communicate your ideas effectively and really get that across.
And I think that's a great point. You know, something else I counsel people on is making your goal their idea.
Yes.
And one of the best compliments I've received on the book was from my dad, who called up and said, hey, you stole this stuff from me. I'm happy to give him credit here or anywhere else.
Sure.
He says, but let me tell you a story. He's an engineer, a mechanical engineer,
mm-hmm.
and he sent one of his machines to Mexico with one part missing. And it was a simple fix, but he said he did it on purpose. And what you found was that when they were able to fix it, when the engineers there in Mexico were able to make that fix, it became their machine.
Right.
They became vested in that machine's success, and he's never received calls or complaints about it since. Because when you mutualize a goal, when you make it everyone's goal, and you allow ownership to be part of that group, then that ownership becomes part of everyone's success, and everyone becomes vested in it.
That's interesting. What a What a really interesting way of sort of looking at a situation like that. Your dad also sounds like an innovator and a creative guy. That's great. I'm speaking with Chris Saint-Hilaire. He's the author of a new book out called 27 Powers of Persuasion. And I understand, Chris, the book is available pretty much everywhere now. Is that correct?
You know, it's at Barnes & Noble, and it's at Borders. And obviously, it's available online at Amazon.com and the respective websites out there. So, yeah, I'm pleased with the release, and I'm pleased with the feedback. And
yeah, well, one final question I did want to ask about. I know we were chatting earlier. We both are parents with kids, and I think one of the toughest things for parents with children at any age, really, whether they're a toddler or, you know, a teenager, or in my case, a young adult. What are some of the biggest issues that you see in communications between parents and children, and some of the ways that you can use some of these techniques to help?
You know, and this doesn't work for every teenager, because what I find is that when you're really young, you think your parents know everything, and when you're a teenager, you think your parents know nothing.
Yeah.
At some point, you realize they're just people like you.
Yeah.
But one tool that I recommend people using is letting silence work for you.
Mm. Hard for a lot of us to do.
Well, and I mean, this is a language, and you know, it's not built overnight, it's not learned overnight. But the fact is, reporters do this constantly. They will ask you a question, and they'll sit and nod and let the silence sit for 4 or 5 seconds. And what happens is, people first tell you what they think you want to hear. And then if you let silence sit, they'll open up. If you're comfortable with that silence, you'll get to what they really think after they've told you what they think you want to hear. And so letting that silence sit, be comfortable with that silence, give it 3 or 4 seconds, you'll learn a lot more about what it is your children really think, and you'll be able to communicate better because they will have opened up to you more.
Good advice and very wise insights. Thank you so much. I've been speaking with Chris Saint-Hilaire. He's the author of a book. You've got to read it. It's called 27 Powers of Persuasion. Don't let the title fool you, though. This is really a book on human relationships and ways to be a better communicator in so many aspects of your life. So, Chris, it's a pleasure having you on, and I'm really thrilled that we got a chance to chat, and I'm happy I have the book, because it's gonna help me be a better parent, a better reporter, better wife. So thank you so much.
Well, I have to say, Nashville is actually one of my favorite cities. So it was a pleasure to do the interview.
Thanks. Great. We'll come back, and we got the Grand Ole Opry back up and running on its feet and everything. So we're ready for you.
Thanks.
Zone About Town is a public affairs presentation of 104.5 The Zone. As always, your input, comments, and topic suggestions are welcome. Go to 104.5thezone.com and tell us about the issue you'd like to hear about on Zone About Town. From 104.5 The Zone.